Luke 9, 23 to 26 read, "And he, Jesus, said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels.'" Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I'm your host, Pastor Bryce, and we have the privilege of beginning a new quarter starting today, which means, of course, a new quarter of podcast episodes following along with our quarterly focus in the church. We have just finished a quarter on the gospel, and we move quite naturally into another quarter, and this one is on discipleship. We have then several things at the church centered around discipleship. For example, in the auditorium, 9 a.m. each Sunday, we have a new ACE adult Christian education class, The Hard Sayings of Jesus. And then we have a book that is in the foyer available for purchase pretty much at cost from Amazon. And it's James Montgomery Boyce's book, Christ's Call to Discipleship. I've got this passage in front of us, Luke 9, which is kind of the standard passage, if you will, on what it means to be called as a disciple of Jesus. Luke 9, 23 to 26, which we'll be looking at this entire quarter on this podcast and just working our way through it, one little piece at a time, to springboard us into discussions about discipleship in its various aspects. And I wanted to begin today by just considering the very term, discipleship. What is the concept we are considering here? I'm drawing this a little bit from the first thing Jesus says. He says, "If anyone would come after me." That centers our discussion. Discipleship is, what does it mean to come after Jesus, to follow him? Now, I wanted to take a whole episode to talk about this. I don't remember if 3 years ago when we first went over this on this podcast, I probably took a whole episode to talk about it there as well. So maybe I'm repeating that information, but it is worth taking an episode to discuss what we mean by discipleship, because pretty much all the other quarterly focuses are clear enough that you can just understand what we're talking about. If we say the gospel, we say God, that's theology proper. If we say the Holy Spirit, got it. But discipleship, I have to explain. Now, the reason for that is because discipleship is a term we use in the church in really two different ways that are related but are different. And maybe your experience of this word is different from mine, but my experience of discipleship in the church is that it has been used entirely in my hearing to refer to making other people into disciples and helping them grow. So when I think of discipleship, I'm always thinking of how we help other people grow to become disciples, just kind of more evangelism, but they become disciples and then they grow as disciples. So to me, in my mind, and maybe it's not that way in your mind, but in my mind, that's discipleship. So we might think of things in the church that we do to help other people grow. That's a great use of that term. It's just not at all the use of the term that we're going to be using this quarter. We have a whole quarter on the local church, which we'll touch on that. But discipleship, what I mean by discipleship this quarter, is what exactly does it mean for you to become and to be a disciple of Jesus? And there's an emphasis here on the call to discipleship that Christ gives throughout the Gospels, and also the cost of being a disciple. I really like to have this quarter following immediately after the Gospel quarter, because in the Gospel quarter, we emphasize the freeness of grace, the wonders and glories of the Gospel. You can have your sins forgiven, not by works, only by faith. It is all true. But Jesus made clear as well when he was on this earth in his first coming that to trust in him, faith, which is all that's required, to truly trust in him will also mean that you trust in him alone. There is therefore repentance as a part of faith, or the flip side of faith. We are turning away from our old lives, our old selves, our old trusts. And so no one can have two masters. You get to pick. If you want to trust in Jesus, you trust in him alone. You can't trust in him and money. You can't trust in him and your other relationships, including family relationships, for ultimate significance and for salvation. It has to be only him. So included in trust is this what we might call the cost of discipleship. There's a bit of a paradox here, because if you ask the question, what does salvation cost you? The first and correct answer here would be to say nothing. That is why the gospel's good news. Jesus paid it all. You merely receive it by faith. That is true. But it's a paradox, because there's another way to answer that question. What does salvation cost you? Everything. Because Jesus said, for example, anyone who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. So salvation costs you nothing. That's the gospel. But salvation costs you everything. And what we'll talk about this quarter is, when it costs you everything, you're not paying everything in order to buy salvation. It's just that the nature of trusting in Christ, of being his disciple, is such that he does not accept competition. So those who truly trust in him become disciples, and disciples are single-mindedly devoted to him. So maybe the better word for this quarter than discipleship would be something like disciplehood. And the only drawback is that that is not a word. We just made that up. But that's what we're talking about, disciplehood. What does it mean for you to truly be a disciple of Jesus? Now, you can see this subject introduced in Luke 9, the passage we'll be looking at this quarter, because when he says, if anyone would come after me, so you want to be a disciple? You want to follow me? Yes. Then there follow all these, what you might think of as conditions. Again, they're not meritorious. These are not ways to earn salvation or earn a place as a disciple, but these are conditions without which you just can't be a disciple. If you're not willing to do these things, you show that you do not yet have true saving faith. But the conditions, wow, they are hard. They are heavy. Okay, here they are. You want to be a disciple? This is what disciplehood involves. Deny yourself. Take up your cross every day. That's what you die on. And then follow me. If you want to save your life, you lose it. You have to lose your life for Jesus' sake to save it. And if you're ashamed of him and his words, he'll be ashamed of you. So it's pretty heavy. And that's what we're trying to get at this quarter, not just in Luke 9, but throughout the Gospels. And I would say the epistles too, but especially throughout the Gospels, Jesus is clear in a way that sometimes gets lost in our more seeker-sensitive, influenced church culture. Jesus is clear that the invitation is for all, but those who come must renounce all for Christ's sake. They cannot continue living their life like they were before with slight adjustments to be a Christian. And we have to say this really clearly today, because we do happen to live in a culture that is Christian by heritage, and therefore most people you encounter would describe themselves as Christian. Most celebrities would describe themselves as Christian. And there doesn't necessarily have to be any correlation between knowing the Bible or living in the way that Jesus commands and being a Christian. It's sort of a cultural thing. It can be inherited from one's family. You have Catholic Christians. It's very much a cultural thing. Grandfather was, father was, you are. But even outside of Catholicism, a Protestant thing, it just seems everyone's a Christian. And even everyone's would say they're a born-again Christian, because that was an attempt to fight against the cultural thing, and it itself has become the cultural thing. So everyone's Christian, and so we have to have a quarter where we say, hey, what does it really, really mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Not just in a cultural sense, but using Jesus' own definitions of disciplehood. What does that mean? So We don't want this to be a depressing quarter. This isn't meant to be all doom and gloom, like the gospel was the happy quarter and now we get the sad quarter. On the other hand, there is a seriousness, a weight about this quarter, a very important one, but there is a weight about it. We're trying to avoid what Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously called cheap grace, which is just grace that comes in and basically christens all your sins. You can keep living how you want. And Bonhoeffer himself was writing in the context of a nationally Christian German nation that nonetheless, by and large, supported the Nazi party, or at least didn't speak out against it. So he had to step back and go, okay, everyone's Christian and no one's acting like it, so what's happened in this country? And he realizes most people hold to a cheap grace. They are ignoring the cost of discipleship, and so he wrote a famous book, Nachfolge in German, just meaning following after, but the English translation of that title we know as The Cost of Discipleship. That's what we're talking about. Not an easy believism, not a cheap grace, which is no grace at all. In other words, maybe to put it most simply, when we think of disciplehood, we are just saying that no one becomes a disciple of Jesus on the side. It is not something you do in your free time. It is not something you do as a side hustle. If you are a disciple of Christ, that is the single most significant defining fact about you. You see that in the gospel narratives themselves, because when Jesus called disciples when he was here on earth in his first coming, it was follow me, and they literally, spatially, had to leave behind what they had, whether that be their father, their fishing career, their tax collecting booth. They had to leave it behind and follow him. So you can see in the very act of following him, there is a cost associated with it because they couldn't do both. Matthew couldn't say, I'll follow you, Jesus, from right here at my tax booth. The other disciples couldn't say, we'll follow you from right here in our fishing boats. They had to leave those things and follow Jesus. Now, Jesus is now in heaven. He is with us in a spiritual sense, but he is in heaven. And the call to us to leave all and follow him is not actualized in a physical, spatial way anymore. And that's why it's easy for us to think we've done it if we haven't. There is a spiritual sense in which we are still called to leave all. That's what Jesus means by renounce everything. We have to renounce everything to follow Jesus. In other words, following Jesus has to come to take priority over everything else in your life. Even if you keep those other things, family, home, career, hobbies, even if some of them you must sacrifice in following Jesus, but the ones that you must keep them in a way that they are lower down on the hierarchy of priorities in your life. So the goals of this quarter as we consider disciplehood are really twofold. I guess to put it in a kind of negative way, it would be to challenge any of us who do not take our walk with Christ seriously enough. Other things come in, we get distracted, happens to me, happens to you. We need a challenge that we cannot allow any of these things to rise up that hierarchy and to come into competition with Christ and following him as the most important aspects of our life. So there is a challenge in this quarter, rightly so. Positively put, this quarter is to encourage in us what I could call a reckless devotion. Reckless devotion. Not reckless in every sense of the word, but reckless in the sense that we should be considered radical in our devotion to Christ. The people who know us, if they are not believers filled with the Holy Spirit, should question the decisions we make for Christ. They should feel like we spend too much of our time in the local church, like we are too committed to reading and knowing the scriptures, like we bring up the truths of the Bible just too often, like we're too obsessive about the salvation of others. There should be that sense from those who don't know Christ. We should not just look exactly like them so that there's nothing to distinguish us. Disciplehood means we have renounced all, left all to follow Christ. And that is what we will be considering this quarter. I'm excited to do it with you. If you're listening to this, it's possible that you've not thought in these terms for some time, maybe if ever. You haven't thought about just the cost of being a disciple of Jesus, or maybe time has gone on in the disciple path and you've become distracted, diverted this way or that way in your attention, in your heart. Whatever the case in the past might be, may God help us all now to think this way.